learn more about worship. And do you know that worship is the theme of Malachi? I didn't know that before, but when I studied the book of Malachi, and I consulted some other authors, about their idea of what's going on during the time, I learned that the theme of Malachi is worship. And so today we're going to study about worship. And today my message is entitled, Are We Going Through the Motions? But before we go to the Word of God, let's pray. Ask the Lord to bless our time together. Lord, once again we come before you, humbling ourselves, knowing, O God, that apart from you we cannot do anything. Lord, we humble ourselves knowing, O God, that apart from the Holy Spirit, we cannot understand spiritual things. And so we come to you and ask, O God, that you enlighten our hearts, that you open our minds, that we may understand the truth of your word. Lord, give us an understanding heart. Give us understanding, O God, to know the truth. And Lord, we ask, O God, that you guide your servant, O God, that I may speak with boldness. That I may speak exactly what you want me to speak. And Lord, as we come before you, may you be glorified in our midst, O God. And we give you all the glory and all the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As I said, the theme of the book of Malachi is worship. And sometimes when we think about worship, we only think about singing, only think about what we do in church. But worship is more than singing. Worship is more than coming to church, attending a service, being in church, being in the presence of God's people. Worship is more than the things we do in church. As I said last week when I was teaching the kids, worship is, the Bible says, worship is offering our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. And most of the time when we worship, we are not aware at times that when we worship, especially when you are not in the mood, so to speak, you are physically not ready, sometimes we are going through the motions. We're just doing what we do. I'm just here because that I may not find you. Something like that. You heard that word from a football player. When he said, I am just here so that I don't get mocked. So we come to the church, listen to the message, sing songs, but sometimes we are going through emotions. And this is what happened during the time of Malachi. Malachi was raised by God to tell them about true worship, on how they can worship God in spirit and in truth. And during their time, although the temple was the temple worship was back, but physically it was back, but spiritually their heart is not in God that they worship. The question is, how can we go back to serious worship? That is the theme of the book of Malachi. God is speaking to them through Malachi to encourage them to go back to serious worship. Just like what happened to a Christian named Nate. Nate approached his pastor saying, one day, said, "I am not sure what the problem is. I feel empty inside." And this confession concerned his pastor, since Nate was one of his most faithful lay leaders. Whenever the pastor called a meeting or needed something done in the church, he is always there. He always showed up to do the work of the ministry. But one day he complained to the pastor and said, "I don't know what's going on. I feel like I am going through the motions, doing church work, helping people, and even attending worship do not energize me anymore," said Nate. "I am tired of doing stuff. I am living a lifeless belief." The Jews, the people of God during that time, was living like Nate. They were going through the motions. And so Malachi, actually there's a little known about, little knowledge about Malachi. Malachi's name means messenger. But as we can see in the book of Malachi, Malachi is a book of prophecy that tells us what will happen when the Christ comes. And before the Christ comes, he's preparing his people to serious worship. Because when the true God comes in the presence of his people, we must prepare our heart to worship. And so he addressed the Jews who returned from their land from their exile for 70 years. They rebuilt the temple and reestablished the worship of God. Everything was okay, but inwardly, a cancer of complacency ate away at their commitment. And so God spoke to Malachi. And the book of Malachi is a structure of argument between God and his people on regarding the true worship of God. And Malachi begins to tell them that God loves them with a tender, affectionate, and unconditional love. You know, from the scripture, from the text that we read, the first thing that God said to them is, "I love you. I have loved you." That's the first thing that God said to the people of Israel. "I have loved you. I have chosen you. From among the people of the world, I have chosen you. I chose you over Esau." He said, "Jacob I love, Esau I hate." For that's the first thing that God said to people of Israel. And what should be the response of his people? The reasonable response is worship, devotion, sacrifice. Anything less than worship will be disingenuous. Unfortunately, their worship has become insincere, going through emotions. And God spoke to the people of God, calling them back to serious worship in chapter 1. God told them and asked what he wanted in worship. Now the question is, how do we know that we are going through the motions? If you are going to look at your heart, if you are going to look at your life, how do we know that we are going through the motions? Number one, we are going through the motions when we don't give him the greatest honor. I want to say it again. We're going through the motions when we don't give him the greatest honor. In chapter 1, verse 6, Malachi said, "A son honors
and a servant his master. But if I am a father, where is my honor? If I am a master, where is your fear of me? Said Yahweh of hosts, to you priests who despise my name. You know, in the original Hebrew, the word honor means to be heavy. H-E-A-B-Y. So when you treat someone with respect or with honor, it means that you are treating him as a heavyweight in your life. Someone who is extremely important. Someone of great significance. Someone who is huge. So when you say, I will honor God, it means that you are treating him as the most important, the heaviest person for you. When God says, honor your father or mother, he's actually saying, don't just obey them or respect them, but treat them as if they are truly significant. And many people today, many Christians today, don't treat God as if he is the most important person in the world. God is just second, or third, or fourth, or the last person in their life. And most of the time, our priorities are not God, family, you know, church, friends, office, whatever. Sometimes our priorities are not right. But God says, seek ye first my kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So when we honor God, when we give him the highest honor, the greatest honor, it means that we treat God as if he is the most significant person for you. You know what God says here? He said, I am a father. I am a master. I expect honor. I expect reverence. Don't treat me with contempt. And that is what the people of God do. They don't treat God as if he is the most important person in the world. They treat him with contempt. You know what's the most important thing as far as God is concerned? Not what you give him. The most important thing to God is your heart. The most important thing for God is you give him your heart. Because if God has your heart, he has everything in your life. Most of the time, our heart is not completely given to God. Now, someone said, Jesus is not Lord of all. He is not Lord at all. If he is not 100% the Lord of your life, he is not the Lord in your life. So God wanted each and every one of us to have a heartfelt attitude of honor and respect toward him, an attitude that recognizes who God is and how gracious he has been. Far more important than gifts, the gift on the altar is the heart of a worship. Now, let me ask you this. Why do you come to church? Or why do you come to worship? You know, some people come to hear a certain preacher. Some people come to watch their children perform. Some people come to visit with their friends or enjoy the food. Some people come to fulfill an obligation.
Some people, especially politicians, to enhance their business opportunities or political opportunities. Some come to church to see what everyone else is wearing. But there is only one reason that is acceptable to God, and that is to give honor and praise to God. You know, when we come together for worship, we are not attempting to entertain worshipers or to steer the emotions of people. We're not here to manipulate worshipers' minds and hearts or to indoctrinate them with our doctrine. Worship is, first of all, an attempt to focus our attention on God. That is, to honor Him. So when we come together for worship, is your heart ready to give Him honor? To make Him the most important person in the world as far as you are concerned? When you have to choose between your family or friends and God, who are you going to choose? You know, most of the time, especially at this time, you know, when everyone is going to the beach, or going somewhere else to enjoy your family, there's nothing wrong with enjoying your family. But sometimes, when you have to choose between God and people, we can see where our heart is. The Bible says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart be also." So we are going through the motions. When we don't give God the greatest honor. Second, we're going through the motions when we don't give Him the best response. In verse 6, up to verse 8. "Yet you ask, how have we despised your name? By presenting defiled food on my altar, you ask, how have we defiled you? When you say the Lord's table is contemptible, when you present a blind animal for sacrifice, is it not wrong? And when you present a lame or sick animal, is it not wrong? Bring it to your governor. Would he be pleased with you or show you any favor?" Ask the Lord. You know, the priests during the time should have known better. They know what God accepts and what God did not accept. But they allowed any kind of offering to be offered to God, even though those offerings are rejects or leftovers. The priests were accepting not just the second best from people, but worse than that, they are bringing animals that are rejects, worthless animals. You know, right now we're not supposed to offer animals, sacrifices, and but if there's one thing that remains, it is God wanted each and every one of us to give Him the best. Can you say amen? God expects each and every one of you, each and every one of us, to give Him the best. And as far as the Bible is concerned, there are three standards for giving. Number one, give Him the best. Number two, give Him first. And then number three, give what costs you. Give Him sacrificial. Remember David? David, when he was offering something to God, when God spoke to him and showed him that this is the place that he will, He will establish a temple.
And then someone was offering the place to him for free. And then he said, I will not give anything to God that will not cost me anything. So when we give to God, we give him not only the best, we give him first, we give him the whatever costs us or whatever we can give him as sacrifice. So when God, when we offer something to God, we give him our best. We give him purse and we give him whatever costs us. Actually, God is saying to them, you can do better than that. Better than animal sacrifices that are blemished, leftovers, rejects. He said, even the governor will not accept that from you. How can you give this to God when you know those gifts are unacceptable? They are rejects, they are leftovers. So we are going through the motions when we don't give God the best. When we don't give God first. Or when we give God that doesn't cost us something. So we are going through the motions. Next slide. When you spend an hour reading the paper, how many of you still read the paper? Maybe only nine. When you spend an hour reading the paper, and then before you sleep, you give 5 minutes to read God's word and then you sleep, reading the word of God. Ouch. You're going through the motions. When you bring your best to your career, when you give everything, your best energy, your best talent, your best motivation when it comes to your job or your career, but when it comes to serving the body of Christ, you either sit in the sidelines or look for something that requires the least amount of energy. Ouch. You're going through the motions. When we spend a lot of money on ourselves for our sanctification, but when it comes to giving God an offering, we look at the budget and say, what is that? Perhaps I will give a little of my leftovers to God. So we are going through the motions when we don't give God our best response. Number three. We're going through the motions when we don't give God the highest regard. You know, the quality of your worship is in direct proportion to your concept of God. If your concept of God is small, your worship of God is also small. If you think God is big, your worship of God is also big. So your worship, the quality of your worship, is in direct proportion to your concept. The higher your view of God, the better is your worship of God. And God's complaint against the priests was they despise God's name. In verse 11 and verse 14, he said, for my name will be great among the nations. From the rising of the sun to its setting, incense, your offerings will be presented in my name in every place, because my name will be great among the nations, for I am a great king, and my name will be feared among the nations. What does it mean to despise the name of God? We despise the name of God when we don't honor his name, but
by trusting His Word, by trusting His promises, by making prayer the last resort. You know, when we are at the ends of our life, when we fail in everything we do, that's when we pray. That's when we seek God. That's when we seek the prayer of other brothers and sisters. When all else fails, that's when we open the Word of God. That's when we pray. That's when we come to God. That's when we despise the name of God. We don't honor Him by recognizing who He is and what He has done and what He can do in your life and in my life. And that is what the people of God did during the time. They despised the name of God. And God says, even though you do not believe me, my name will be great among the nations. And from the rising of the sun to the setting of the sun, my name will be great among the nations. You know what God's name represents? God's name represents the person, the character, and the nature of God. You know why God's name will be great among the nations? Because of who He is. He is the great King. He is the Lord Almighty. He is called the Lord Almighty. 23 times in the book of Malachi. You know what the word Almighty means? It means the one who control a great number of armies. The one who has all the hosts of heaven ready to do His work because He has infinite authority in the universe. That's what who God is. God controls everything that happens in the world, whether here or anywhere, whatever time. God is not limited by time. And we are going through the motions when we don't recognize God's greatness as we worship. When we don't praise Him and worship Him for who He is, we're going through the motions. Number four, we're going through the motions when we don't give Him the warmest response. You know what happened to the Jews during the time, people of God, they became bored of worship. In verse 13, it says, "You also say, 'Look, what a nuisance,' and you scorn it," says the Lord of hosts. "You bring stolen, lame, and sick animals. You bring this as an offering. Am I to accept them from your hands?" Asked the Lord. You know what they did? They brought cheap sacrifices, blemished animals, lambs covered with sores, blind lambs, lambs that no respectable person would accept. In other words, their sacrifices cost them nothing. They gave as little time as they could. They did their duty, nothing more, nothing less. Their worship became ritualistic, mechanical, and familiar. Now, my question for you is, how would you describe your worship today? Do you come to church and look at your watch and say, how long is it going to last? Do we have to sing so much? Why is the preaching so long? And then you come to worship and make a mental list of what you're going to do after the service. Or maybe I'm going to the mall after this. I'm starving. I will go to this restaurant and eat this and that and so on and so on. That's what happened. They're bored in worshiping God. Now, what would happen if you worship God in spirit and truth? What is the result of someone who worships God in spirit and in truth? In verse 9, It says, "And now ask the Lord for favor. Will he be gracious to us? Since this has come from your hands, will he not show you any favor? Ask the Lord of hosts." You know, my brothers and sisters, when we focus our worship on God, when we honor him, when we give him our best, when we exalt his great name, when we offer him our warmest worship, our lives will be changed. How many of you watch the sports, you know, going on right now, NBA, NFL, you know, all those sports going on right now? When someone make a shot, when someone score a goal, what do? You shout, you jump, you know, you do all those kinds of stuff. How about when you come to worship? How do you respond as far as worshiping God? Do you clap your hands? Do you jump, or are you excited about worshiping God? Well, God wants us to show him our warmest response when we worship. And the Bible says, if you worship him and honor him, give him our best, exalt his great name, offer him our warmest response, he will give us favor. And the word favor is the same word as grace. God has given us so much that we don't deserve. God has blessed us so much spiritually, materially. There are so many things we can thank God for. Your list is not even enough to name all the things that God has given you in your life. Remember, God has shown you favor. God has saved you, protected you, provided you, do all those kinds of stuff. And all that he is requiring from you and from me is to give him honor. Make him the most important person in the world. Make him the Lord of your life. All he is asking is to give him the best, not the leftovers, not the reject. Not those things that you do not want in your life to give him to God. But give him your best. All that he is asking is to exalt and recognize his great name. And when we do that, he will show favor upon favor upon favor. God is saying today to you and to me, will I not show favor to you? Will he not show favor to you? And I'm sure God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask of him according to the power that works within us. And God has given us a numerical number of people. Amen. The Bible says, "My grace is sufficient for you, and my power is great in your weakness. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass." Bible says, his mercy is from everlasting to everlasting. Amen. God is good. He will never leave you, he will never forsake you. And he wanted you, he wanted me, he wanted every one of us to worship. And as we prepare our hearts to worship, let us make this a promise to God. That when we come to church, when we come together to worship, our hearts will be ready. Our hearts will be ready to worship him, to honor, to give him our highest praise, the highest honor, to give him reverence, to give him respect, to give him the most important in our life. And today, as we come together to sing our worship songs, let us come before him.